We'll be reading the whole chapter of Genesis 40 today. It's only 23 verses, and looking at this awesome a historical account of Joseph in prison. Okay? Go down there. Joseph, the dreamer and the interpreter. Paul, is it okay if I borrow your guitar real quick?
Yeah, go for it.
Okay, thank you. I forgot to ask him earlier. Do I need? Is that okay?
No, yeah, it's good.
All right. I learned this song with Dale about 30 years ago, and many of you know it. It's called "This Is the Day That the Lord Has Made. I Will Be Glad and Rejoice in It." And we're going to sing it in English. And then we're going to sing it in Japanese. Only a few of us may know it in Japanese. If they can remember, I barely remember some of these words in this song, but it's kind of fun. And I used to sit on one side of the thing, and Dale was over on the other side of the thing in this little Japanese worship center that it used to be a bakery shop. And it was a storefront, and it was turned into a, and that's where I remember learning some of these songs. Okay, if you know "This Is the Day," I think most of you do, you can join us. This is the day, this is the day that the Lord has made, that the Lord has made. I will rejoice, I will. Actually thankful that there are people who play guitar much better than I do to handle the worship part these days, but that's kind of how I got started in church and worshiping and stuff. But the reason I chose that song is, one, because it's probably the only one I can remember how to play and could sing it in Japanese, just to hopefully be a blessing to Dale and Eileen. But more than that, those words, I believe, and they were written hundreds of years, if not a thousand years or so, later on, after Joseph lived. King David, I'm guessing, wrote that psalm, Psalm 118, I think. Anyway, a thousand years later, the song was written, and yet that mindset of, I'm going to praise the Lord. And I want to encourage you that even if you get thrown into prison for doing the right thing, you can sing that song. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will be glad and rejoice in it. Or if you are mistreated at work or at school or wherever you hang out during the days, you know, regardless of what happens, we can sing, "This is the day that the Lord has made. I will be glad and rejoice in it." Now, Joseph may not have had those exact words, but it seems to me that that was the mindset of his heart, that regardless of what happened to him, he was going to serve the Lord and do what God had created him to do. Okay? And we're gonna, I think you'll see that in this passage today. Let's begin here. I thought it's always good to have a picture, right? And there's Joseph. He doesn't have that fancy coat of many colors anymore. He's been thrown in prison, falsely accused, remember, from last week? Okay? And there we go. I want you to remember these two things before we begin this chapter from last week. Now, Joseph, remember, had to be taken down to Egypt. He was taken down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an Egyptian officer of Pharaoh, the captain of the bodyguard, bought him from the Ishmaelites. Notice that Potiphar is called the captain of the bodyguard. Just an observation I want you to make as we see the next chapter, okay? And then this was kind of, I put together what we were, you know, looking at last week. Joseph, his father's beloved and innocent one. He didn't really do anything wrong. He gets sold into slavery by his brothers, yet he honors God and he lives for him and gets promoted in Pharaoh's house. Remember how Potiphar saw his life and he saw that God was the one who blessed him. God was the one who made everything Joseph touched, or everything Joseph was governing over, he just blessed it. The crops grew, and the animals produced more flocks, and God just blessed him, right? But he gets falsely accused, thrown into prison, so what does he do? He just keeps on faithfully serving God. It seems to me that he had the mindset of that song we just sang. I'm going to praise God and do what he wants me to do regardless. Okay, now here we go. Genesis chapter 40, beginning in verse 1. Then it came about after these things, the cupbearer and the baker for the king of Egypt offended their lord, the king of Egypt. Pharaoh was furious with his two officials, the cupbearer and the chief baker. So he put them in confinement in the house of the captain of the bodyguard. The captain of the bodyguard. Interesting. The same description for Potiphar in the previous chapter. The house of the captain of the bodyguard in the jail, the same place where Joseph was imprisoned. The captain of the bodyguard put Joseph in charge of them, and he took care of them. And they were in confinement for some time. I wonder how long it was. It was some time. Then the cupbearer and the baker for the king of Egypt, who were confined in jail, both had a dream the same night, each man with his own dream, and each dream with its own interpretation. When Joseph came to them in the morning and observed them, behold, they were dejected. Kind of picture him feeding the, you know, bringing food to the prisoners and seeing them not looking so good that day. Technical difficulties again. There we go. He asked Pharaoh's officials who were with him in confinement in his master's house, why are your faces so sad today? Then they said to him, we've had a dream and there's no one to interpret it. Then Joseph said to them, do not interpretations belong to God? Tell it to me, please. Pray with me if you would. Father God, I ask that you would open up our eyes to see the lessons, the specific lessons in this text that you want us to see, observe, and to take to heart today. Help us to not just hear it, but to do what it says. In Jesus' name, amen. So, how long ago was going on with this thing? Here we go. I think
I could just have some blank slides.
I don't think so. There it is. It seems likely. I want you to see a few things here. At least, I'm not absolutely sure if likely is the best word, but remember we talked about last week how Potiphar saw God at work in Joseph's life, and then his wife accuses him falsely, and he gets put into this prison instead of being executed. And I suggested, as others have suggested to me, that it's likely, at least seems likely to me, that Potiphar had seen God at work in Joseph and knew that he was a man of integrity. Remember, he trusted him with everything in his house. He could go on a trip, leave Joseph in charge, and he didn't have to worry about anything. He trusted him that much. So his wife falsely accused him, and I believe if he really believed what his wife was saying, he probably would have been executed. We won't know for sure till we get to heaven and ask him. But ask Joseph, that is. I don't know that Potiphar will be there.
Probably
not. We don't know. But then he gets put in this prison, and he's immediately exalted to leadership in the prison. It says the prison guard, the head of the prison, whoever that may be, whether it's, as Mueller suggested, it's Potiphar himself who is in charge of the prison, or whether it's another official of the, I believe it's somebody that Potiphar knows. He works with him in the government of the king, of the Pharaoh. So, puts him in charge of the prison, and he exalts Joseph in the same way that Potiphar exalted Joseph over his whole household. The guy can go on vacation, and he can leave the prison and everyone in it to Joseph, and he knows everybody will get fed, everything's good to go, as long as Joseph is in charge, right? He puts Joseph in charge and exalted Joseph to this leadership in the prison. All right. Joseph, notice this as well. He's so mistreated by so many others in his life. His own brother sold him into slavery. How did he respond? He acted faithfully and with, I would use the word, responsibility. And Pharaoh could just, or Potiphar could put him in charge of his house and he didn't have to worry. And he gets into prison, and the captain of the guard puts him in charge of the prison. He doesn't have to worry at all. And he's in the prison going about his duties. And I'm wondering, if you were treated like this, sold into prison by your brothers, falsely accused, how would your attitude be? What would your mood be like from day to day? You know? Joseph, as mistreated as he was by others, he cared enough about his fellow prisoners. He wasn't just doing his, you know, this navel gazing like so many people do when they've been, you know, he doesn't act like a victim, and he doesn't have the victim mentality. Whatever happens to him, he just keeps on doing whatever God would have him do in that miserable situation that he might be in. And he doesn't go around like this wondering what's wrong. He sees what's happening in the hearts of other people. He sees that these other prisoners are dejected. I think that's worth making note of. Underlining that in your Bible. He noticed they were dejected and he asked, why are you so sad? Have you ever seen anybody down and just gone up and said, man, it looks like you're not having such a good day today? So it's so easy to say, you look like you're having a hard day today. Think about that. And you can use your own words and put it, but the next time you see somebody that's dejected, or you know, you might be at the coffee shop, and I'll share this. I've been to the coffee shop a couple of times recently, and there's this. Darla's laughing because she knows I like coffee. And so I'm at the coffee shop, and there's this one lady, you know, and I'm a man. She's probably about my age, I would guess. And she comes in, she gets her coffee, and she'll be reading a book, and I'll just notice that she just looks so sad. And I've been wanting to say, you know, like, Lord, is there some way I could pray for her, invite her to church, or, you know, what you kind of have to be careful these days how you, you know, approach someone. I've been praying about it. Lord, couldn't I just go up and say, you look like you're having a hard day today. Can I pray for you? Can I, you know, I think you're all thinking along with me. You got to be careful about how you do that with somebody opposite sex and all that. But I've just been praying for her at the very least and thinking, you know, what can I do? And it's just fascinating to me that Joseph had this mindset. He wasn't griping around, yeah, here's your bread, here's some water. He saw that his fellow prisoners were, you know, had something on their hearts, and he asked about it, okay? And I like how he said, remember, in Joseph's case, he said, interpretations belong to the Lord. But, see, in that case of the person that you're thinking of, or this person that I'm thinking of, we just can plug that in. Whatever that person needs, if they really need it, God can provide it. These two needed an interpretation for their dreams. I'm guessing that's not the lady's problem at the... If she has a problem at all, she might just be melancholy, sort of, you know. That just might be her personality, you know, for all I know. But help, I wanted you to put it in those terms. Help belongs to God, whether it's an interpretation or whatever that person needs that you're trying to reach out to. It belongs to God. He can provide. Let's keep going here, verse 9. So the chief cupbearer told his dream to Joseph and said to him, in my dream, behold, there was a vine in front of me, and on the vine were three branches. And as it was budding, its blossoms came out, and its clusters produced ripe grapes. Isn't that cool? You never get to just see that happen right in front of your eyes. It takes weeks, maybe a couple of months in the vineyard, right, for that normally to happen. He sees it all in a dream. Three branches, budding, blossoms come out, and its clusters produced ripe grapes. Now Pharaoh's cup was in my hand. So I took the grapes, squeezed them into Pharaoh's cup, and I put the cup into Pharaoh's hand. Cool dream, huh? Anybody ever had a dream like that? No. I haven't had a dream like that. I had a dream this last week. I'm almost embarrassed to tell you this dream. I was on a tricycle. And I don't know I just remember being on a tricycle. And for some reason, I had to get miles down the road on a tricycle. And I made a wrong turn, and I had to turn around. And then I made another wrong turn, and I'm on a tricycle, and I have to go miles down the road on this thing. And I'm like, I probably saw that stupid commercial too many times with those people driving tricycles around, or something. What does that mean? I have no idea what that means. But it occurred to me, sometimes God gives people dreams, and he's actually trying to communicate something. In Acts chapter 2, you remember that? You know, some people will see visions, some people will dream dreams. All over the world, we keep hearing these stories of Muslims having dreams of Jesus saying, "I am the way, the truth, and the life," or something like that. And then they go to the missionary and find Jesus. And it's like, the Lord can still use a dream if he wants to. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And
young men shall see visions and your old men will dream dreams.
Yep, some people will have visions and some people will dream dreams. And this is what was fascinating to me as I just stopped and thought about it a little bit, that God knows everything that goes on in my weird and twisted brain. And maybe that was just I ate too much chili that night for dinner or something and you know, had a weird dream or whatever. But God, this is the amazing thing. God knows everything. God knew about this cupbearer and his situation, and God caused whatever has to happen in the brain to happen in order that he saw that in his sleep. And he remembered it so vividly as he woke up that he could tell the dream to Joseph with that kind of vividness and clarity. Okay? So, for some reason, it doesn't want to keep going to the next one. Honey, would you mind pushing the button for me? I'm not sure if the batteries are gone in this or what. Then Joseph said to him, check out what happens now. This is the interpretation of it. The three branches are 3 days. Within 3 more days, Pharaoh will lift up your head and restore you to your office, and you will put Pharaoh's cup into his hand, according to your former custom when you were his cupbearer. Next slide. And yeah, again. So the cupbearer's dream, I want you to think about that now. God gave this man a vivid dream concerning his good, good news. He's been in prison, remember it said, for some time. He has this dream, he's dejected, and he finds out, 3 days, I'm going to be restored. I'm going to get to work for the king again. And kind of an interesting job being cupbearer for the king. You know what the cupbearer does? Whatever's being served to the king, he takes it a little bit of it to see if he dies, the king doesn't drink it. So it's an interesting job, but it's a job which the king, it means the king trusts this guy. And so he's the one that gets to bring the food to the king, and he's the cupbearer. Okay, and he's pretty excited, I'm sure, as any of us would be. I'm getting my job back again, right? So go to the next one. Joseph, I want you to notice this too. Joseph didn't have to do any you know, like little weird incantation, you know, abracadabra, you know, drink a little potion, or he didn't have to do anything like that. The guy told him the dream, and Joseph was gifted by God to be able to know instantly. He knew exactly what the dream meant right away because God had given him this ability, this knowledge, wisdom, or whatever. It's very cool. God knows this cupbearer, and God knows Joseph, and has gifted him with this ability to interpret dreams. It's pretty interesting to me. He was gifted by God to be able to know instantly what every detail of the dream meant. Okay? God knows. Go to the next one. And so this is how Joseph responds after he tells him the dream. He says, only keep in mind when it goes well with you, and please do me a kindness by mentioning me to Pharaoh and get me out of this house. For I was in fact kidnapped from the land of the Hebrews, and even here I have done nothing that they should have put me into the dungeon. Go to the next slide. So, obviously, Joseph sees right now if this guy is going to be reinstated to his position as cupbearer to the king, to Pharaoh, he, among a very few people, have the opportunity to say something to Pharaoh on his behalf. And even though God is using him in this prison, and it seems to me like he has a good attitude, he's not just all looking at himself, he's helping other people and asking them, hey, you look dejected, what's wrong? You know, he's ministering to other prisoners while he's in jail. He's got what seems to me to be a positive attitude, but he still wants out of this prison, just like you or I would. He wants to be free to get back to his father, I'm sure, and his brothers. I'm not sure so much about the brothers, but he at least wants to get back to his father, right? So when the chief baker saw, this is where it gets pretty interesting. All right, this guy's going to be reinstated. So this is the chief baker, saw that he had interpreted favorably. He said to Joseph, I also saw in my dream, and behold, there were three baskets of white bread on my head. I wonder if they always carried bread around on the head. A lot of people around the world did their, you know, they put water on their head and carried, I don't know. Three baskets of white bread on my head. And in the top basket, there were some of all sorts of baked food for Pharaoh. And all the birds were eating them out of the basket on my head. Then Joseph answered and said, this is its interpretation. The three baskets are 3 days. Within three more days, Pharaoh will lift up your head from you and will hang you on a tree, and the birds will eat your flesh off you. Wow.
Wow.
That's kind of sad. I can imagine he was thinking, wow, the other guy got a good, you know, interpretation for his dream. What's mine mean? And just one observation from this one. Joseph interprets the bad news with every bit as much truthfulness and accuracy as the good news. 3 days later, he was executed. The king did exactly what Joseph said he would do. I was kind of thinking about this story, thinking, it was probably one of those, you know, somebody did something not right in Pharaoh's court there, and all the other suspects were, what's that word?
Exonerated.
These guys couldn't have done it. They had good alibis. These two didn't. One of them committed the crime or whatever that ticked Pharaoh off so much. They both go into jail, and Pharaoh, 3 days later, one of them gets reinstated, the other one is eaten by birds. Go to the next one. Please. Thank you. Verse 20 says, thus it came about on the third day, which was Pharaoh's birthday, he made a feast for all his servants, and he lifted up the head of the chief cupbearer and the head of the chief baker. This is just a little side note. Remember that verse that says, thou, O Lord, art a shield about me. You're my glory and the one who lifts up my head. This is an interesting example of that happening. God lifting up the head of, or Pharaoh, in this case, lifting up the head of the cupbearer, okay? Restoring him to his position of service before the king, right? So he lifted up the head of the chief cupbearer and the head of the chief baker, whack, among his servants. He restored the chief cupbearer to his office, and he put the cup into Pharaoh's hand, but he hanged the chief baker just as Joseph had interpreted to them. Yet the chief cupbearer did not remember Joseph, but forgot him. He should have ran back to Pharaoh and said, Pharaoh, this amazing thing happened. 3 days ago, this Hebrew slave in the prison told me that you were going to do this, that you were going to reinstate me to my place of service in your court, and that the baker would be executed, and it happened, but he didn't. He gets reinstated, and he gets left there. What's up with that? How in the world can people be so... If you were Joseph, let me put that another way. If I were Joseph, I would have been like, what's up with that stinking cupbearer? What is it? I mean, I helped him, and I gave him a good thing, and I was nice to him. I asked him why he had ejected, and, he reached out. He just forgot about me. What did Joseph do? I think it's pretty clear in the text that Joseph just kept right on doing what every single bad thing that happened to him, what did he do? He just kept on serving the Lord. He kept on doing what the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of his father Jacob wanted him to do. Okay? The Lord our God knows everything. He knows what you're dreaming at night. Think about that. The CIA might have something that could like work on your brain and make you dream dreams or something. I don't know about that. It's all science fiction, right? And or they can like put that thing on your head and erase your memory, do stuff. Can anybody really do that? I doubt it. Not without hurting people. God knows every little fleeting thing that goes through your mind. That's a scary thought, huh? Listen, God knows everything that goes through your mind, and He still loves you. In spite of all that stuff that runs through your mind that shouldn't run through your mind. God knows everything. He's all powerful, so He can... It's nothing for God to give a cupbearer in the prison a dream. What was God... Think about what God was doing right there. What is God doing in the life of Joseph? This is... remember, the story of Joseph takes up most of the book of Genesis. The whole, all that foundational stuff about the creation, the fall of mankind, and the flood, and the Tower of Babel, which is absolutely critical historical information for understanding where we come from how God made us and the foundation of world and the foundation of salvation and redemption was in chapters 1 through 11. And these other, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob got a few chapters each, but Joseph gets this huge chunk of the book of Genesis because it's such an important part of redemptive history. And he pictures this, we're going to talk about that some more next week. He's like a picture of Jesus. He's a type of Christ. His father loved him. He was this, it was kind of like to Jacob, he had all these other sons, but Joseph was the one that he treasured, you know, kind of like the father, his only begotten son. How is Jesus different from all of us? Well, Jesus is God the Son. We're adopted children, and he loves us a lot, but Jesus is Jesus, right? And Joseph is this person who kind of pictures, he's like a one who will portray for us what Jesus will do when he comes. And Jesus came to save his people. Joseph was being sent, had been sent into Egypt. Why? We're going to see in the next week or two, he was sent there to save his people, the Jewish people, through whom the Messiah would come into the world. It's a beautiful thing. And God gave a dream to the cupbearer of the king of Egypt as part of this, with all that detail, so that it was absolutely clear, and so that it would be something that he would remember a couple of years later, okay? He knows everything. He is all-powerful. He can give a dream. He can do, he can walk on water. We get all that stuff. And this is cool. God is everywhere. So whether we're in prison for preaching the gospel or for doing the right thing, or we're being sold into slavery by our brothers, or whatever bad thing could possibly, what bad thing could be worse than that? Being sold by your brothers, and or what could be worse than being thrown into prison for something you didn't do? But God is right there. God was with Joseph, and God is with you as you go through that. Okay? And I just think we better listen up and be ready to obey this God, however he chooses to move, okay, in our situation. Go to that next one. Even when we get forgot. Is that proper English, dear? Even when we get forgot. It is correct.
Forgotten.
Get forgotten. I was thinking, we have been forgotten, but we get forgot. I think it's right. I'll get a hold of Lydia. She's our grammar expert. Oh, maybe somebody over here can correct me. Is that correct? No. Okay, change it. It's supposed to be forgotten. Even when we get forgotten, okay, Joseph was forgotten. Don't change it right now.
I lost it. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
I got it
right here. Is it back up there? Okay, even when we get forgotten, Joseph was forgotten by the cupbearer, but listen, God wanted him to wait. There was just the right time when Joseph was to interpret another dream. So you might be in a time where you're frustrated, wait, why has God left me in this particular place at this particular time? Why hasn't this thing happened that I want to happen? Okay? But God wanted him there until the right time. Something is going to happen at a particular time, and he had to be, for some reason, in that prison for this amount of time in order for the next thing to happen that God wanted to do. What is that thing? You're going to have to come back next week and find out. Okay? But God knows everything. He's all powerful. He's there's not anything about your life that He's not in control of. Even your dreams. That's why I shared with you a couple of weeks ago, I remember having dreams that I don't want to dream. And I asked Jesus, Lord, today, be Lord of my dreams tonight so that I don't dream things that I don't think you want me to be dreaming, Lord. So God is Lord over everything. And Jesus came and died on the cross. He was buried and He rose again on the third day. And then He sent the Holy Spirit to live in us. He told His disciples, He is with you, but He will be in you. Now we have the same God that we're studying in this passage, living in us to help us deal with the dungeons of our lives. Sometimes we're just in a dungeon experience, right? How many of you have been in a dungeon experience? Where you feel like, boy, this is just like going through the valley of the shadow of death here. But even there, His rod and His staff, they comfort us. And He's with us through all that. So, let's pray. Our Father and our God, we rejoice that You know even what we dream about. And so I pray that You would help us. Help us to never live with a nonsensical idea that we can do something and get away with it. Do something inappropriate and get away with it. You see everything and You know everything. And we thank You that Jesus has died in order for us to be reconciled to You so that we can be in God and God can be in us. And I pray in Jesus' name that You will help us day from day to day, regardless of the ups and downs or whatever is going on. I pray that You will help us to grow in the realization of Your presence with us. And if we trust in Jesus Christ and if we've been born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, that God is with us in such an amazing and infinite way. I pray that You will help us to understand how broad and high and deep and wide is the love of Christ. That You'll help us to live out our days in the fullness of that love. In obedience to Your word. Because when we do what You want us to do, it's what makes You happy. And it's really what makes us most full of joy. Thank You, Lord God, for Your goodness to us. Yeah, that You're not just hovering over us, trying to nail us for something bad we do, but You are with us to bless us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. You are with us to continue to demonstrate Your love for us and to fill us with Your love. Thank You, Lord. Help us to grow in Your grace, in the grace and knowledge of Jesus. It's in His name we pray. Amen.
You unravel me with the melody. You surround me with the song of the